Technology is an integral part of our business and personal lives, affecting virtually everything we do and experience in some form or fashion.
Information security.
As CPAs, it's never been more important to be ahead of the technology curve.
Privacy management.
That's why the AICPA established the Top Technology Initiatives list, highlighting emerging technologies that'll contribute to the accounting profession.
Assurance and compliance. Mobile and remote computing.
Here on episode 2, we're going to be talking about mobile and remote computing and how it's affecting business going forward into the 21st century.
Mobile and remote computing, everybody wants to do it. Everybody thinks it's the greatest thing. We've been talking about it for years and years and years. Today, I've got a cavalcade of stars to join us for the podcast. David Ryan is a CPA and CITP credential holder and is Vice President of Information Services for Artronic International in Columbus, Ohio, where he maintains a tactical and strategic role with his organization. Artronic is a privately held manufacturer of medication carts, robotics, and software. In his role, David oversees all of the technology and telecom services within the company of 150 employees and finds ways to use technology from a strategic aspect to improve processes and productivity. And he's also a member of the AICPA's IT Executive Committee. Thanks for being here, David.
Thank you, Tim.
John Seals here as well. John is a CPA and also a CITP credential holder and is a partner with RBSK Partners and the partner in charge of the firm's consulting practice, RBSK Technology Consulting. He's now in his fourth year of implementation of his firm's paperless processes and is a member of the AICPA's IT Executive Committee. John, thanks for being here also.
Thank you, Tim. Look forward to it.
Last but certainly not least is James Burke. He's the immediate past chair of the New Jersey State Society and is a shareholder in charge of firm technology and IT consulting services with Withum Smith Brown in Red Bank, New Jersey. Besides his knowledge of computer and accounting, he has an experienced background in tax, management advisory, and litigation support services for closely held technology businesses. He serves on the AICPA's CITP Credential Committee, as well as being an AICPA Council member. So, Jim, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Tim. Happy to be here.
Gentlemen, thank you for coming
thank
in.
You, thank you.
All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about mobile and remote computing, and did actually make this year's top technology initiatives list. Why did it make it this year?
Well, I can tell you, it's hot, Tim. It's it's our new item on our top technology initiatives list this year. It ended up at number 8. You know, I attribute a good chunk of this to generational issues, the X and Ys. The X and Y generation looking for a way to work at times that aren't necessarily traditional. They're out there, so we try to set up applications and technologies to cater to that group, our next generation in the profession. And with bandwidth the way it is today, and Wi-Fi, and WiMAX, and Bluetooth, all these enabling technologies allowing us to really really go crazy with this mobile and remote computing.
Yeah, I think the broadband part for the rural parts of the country and the pricing and the high-speed access has brought this available to a wide range of firms, which most of the firms in the U.S. are small firms. And so I think that's what's brought their recognition of this technology to the forefront and has made the top 10.
You know, you have also, I think, the growth of the internet and the comfort level among users of all generations. I mean, not just young people, but people in their 40s and 50s and even their 60s and 70s who are decision makers in these companies that can go and say, hey, you know what, I'm comfortable with this. I understand there's information that's out there. I don't have to physically possess the information within my walls. And that to be most effective, spreading yourself out across the network or the internet, no matter where you are, you can still be very effective, and it can be secure at the same time. So I think comfort with those kinds of technologies is definitely added to it.
I guess keeping employees happy is one major reason why you'd be wanting to implement these sort of capabilities. But what are some of the other benefits that organizations will get out of implementing mobile and remote capabilities?
Well, think about it, Tim. It's, you know, what society today? Our clients are demanding that we respond to them instantaneously. It's clients are looking for responses quickly, looking for work to get done quickly. You know, it started with the smartphones, taking out, responding to emails. Well, that's one aspect of it. You can't do everything on your smartphones. You know, you can't do tax returns. You can't access your electronic file management applications, your document storage facilities digital. You need basically your desktops, your laptops. So mobile computing has taken that to the next level. It's really information overkill. It's our need to respond quickly and instantaneously to our clients' needs to keep competitive today.
You know, we have a situation as a member in industry that we have sales reps and executives who travel across the country, actually across the world. You know, our cell phones and our PDAs are actually all internationally enabled because we don't know if somebody's going to be in New Zealand or in St. Petersburg or whatever. The idea that you had to, you know, the cost of communicating has gone down. The idea that you'd have to wait to get back to the mainland U.S. Is just not feasible. Or back to your hotel room or your home. We have sales reps that work out of their homes. In our software initiatives, we actually have customer support, customer managers, and implementation and trainers that are going to be spread across the country. They're not going to be located in either our satellite or home offices. And the advantage of that is we're getting the best people in locations where we strategically need them, and we're not having to fly people out of Columbus, Ohio to the West Coast or down south. As we all know, it's very hard to travel these days. So there's definitely a quality of life there for that employee. But on the other hand, it's really a win-win for us too. You know, we can get the best people, we can be flexible with them, and we can deliver the service our customers are going to require and the support on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, I agree with all that. But I think also from the accounting firm point of view and talking to some other practitioners, the shortage of accountants throughout the country has now brought a whole new workforce that can be used. The stay-at-home moms, the people with sick parents, and those type of people now can be productive employees of accounting practices, whereas before it was very impractical. And it's just at the right time to bring those people back in the workforce.
No, you're right, John. And you know what's really happened is that all the technologies around mobile computing, I mean, think about what's happened in public firms over the last, say, 5 years, is that our technologies has allowed us to be able to do that. I mean, ASP models, accessing data via the internet. So those models are in place for the applications. Now we're able to cater to those non-traditional type employees.
Right, and the clients of these firms are benefiting also from the portals and the pushing of documents up in a secure manner.
Explain to me what a portal is.
Well, a portal is an internet access to a secure site, and it allows the firms or business and industry, anybody could use these, but use these portals to push documents up and allow your clients to have 24/7 access to documents. And as everybody knows today, nobody wants to wait. Mm-hmm. And it allows you a nice, secure way to exchange information with your clients and colleagues.
You know, with the reduced cost, it also allows you when you have situations like natural disasters or just foul weather or whatever, that you can still be productive. If you're already geared towards a mobile environment, even if you don't have a huge number of your employees doing that sort of work, the ability to people remotely access home offices or satellite offices allows them to be productive in those situations, which are, again, you know, the kids are out of school or the weather's bad. You know, I've been stuck in the Minneapolis airport for a day. That doesn't mean I'm not, you know, unproductive. That means that I can still get things done, and those technologies leverage that.
So you've convinced me. If I had my own business, that's certainly what I'd be inspired to do now. Mm-hmm. What does the infrastructure look like? What are the components? What would I have to do to get things set up?
Well, I think, you know, think about it. If your staff are going to be out there with mobile and remote computing capabilities, you want to make sure that you have your data set up on the same platform. So a lot of companies set up their data, store data internally on servers and things like that. And it may not be readily available to your staff without going through maybe Citrix or something along those lines, or a VPN. Well, if you don't have that sort of sophistication or infrastructure, think about using an ASP model, application service provider, where your data is stored out there in public data storage facilities that your staff can access simply using a web browser anywhere, anytime. So the more readily that your internal information is available and your client's data is available to your staff, the more you're going to benefit from this mobile and remote computing.
There's different degrees of it. You know, you may have a situation where you do want to keep some of the data inside your own four walls of your office. Other things you can put out there. As Jim said about the ASP model, you know, we have both. We have stuff that sits out on public servers, highly secure environments and data centers, many states away that our employees and customers can reach. But we also have information that we maintain in our primary server rooms within our offices that we put the technologies in for our employees to access. So it may not be, there's not a solution. There's many solutions, and it's usually a hybrid type situation.
Yeah, Tim, if you're a small firm or accounting firm, the other thing is for this to work appropriately, you've got to look at the paperless technologies because you've got to have the data available to be up and accessible. Because if you're a paper office, remote access does not do a lot for the employee. So they're kind of related there. You need to get your internal processes together, make your documents electronic, your work papers, therefore your employee can work wherever, whenever.
What are some of the misconceptions about it? I'm sure there's got to be some fear. There's got to be fear whenever you change over from your business from one way to another. What are some of the biggest misconceptions about it?
I think HR, control.
Yeah, control, I would think.
Policies. And we've talked about a lot of places that have employed this these technologies, but they have no policies.
Security.
Right.
Yeah, really writing down, it's a change in way of doing business and making sure that you document policies and procedures and making sure everyone is following them. It's easy to make sure that they comply while they're within your bricks and mortar, while they're within your office building. But once they're out doing what they would otherwise do in the office while away, using mobile and remote devices, you need to make sure you follow that up with policies and procedures.
Yeah, we had a very simple discussion the other day about just flash drives.
Right.
How many gigabit drive can you buy now?
Yeah, and 32.
And how much of it? Yeah, how much company data could you have on that? And how easy is it to lose?
Yeah.
So is it encrypted? Is it not encrypted? Do you have a policy on that?
Yeah, there's also the personal thing we were talking about earlier. Scope creep. It's the always being on. I mean, that's maybe an HR issue in some ways, but also you have to be careful that you don't have employee burnout occurring, where they feel resentful that they're always available. And that's got to be top down from management. They've got to realize, hey, we do provide a level of support for our clients or customers in our case, because we do software support. On the other hand, you have to make sure that you don't have employees on 24/7, especially lower level staff who obviously have other things going on. It's not really their responsibility. You can't put the total weight on them.
All right. So the practitioner out there listening to this podcast is going to want to know the numbers. What's it going to cost to set something up like this? What is there hardware costs?
Well, think about it. This is a type of technology. There's a very low entry into this. Simply using a smartphone, utilizing any operating system. If you're pushing emails out there, you're taking advantage of mobile and remote computing on a smartphone. If you're able to review Excel spreadsheets, Word documents, PDF files, I mean, you're doing this top technology initiative right here. So look at the low entry point. All the phone carriers out there are almost giving away these devices so long as you sign up for a monthly data plan. So there's a very low entry point into this technology. And depending on how sophisticated your technology is internally, it allows you then to take it up to the next level. So it doesn't take much. Today, every notebook computer is coming packed with cards or picking up wireless signals. And so infrastructure's there. So I believe it's a really low entry point.
You talked about, Jim just mentioned laptops. I mean, that's one thing is look for those employees where it's beneficial. Not just, again, we mentioned earlier salespeople or executives that are on the road all the time, but we actually have a huge number of less mobile but still mobile employees. You do have to kind of work your policies through, but maybe it's beneficial for them to have a laptop and they take it home with you so that they are available and that they can do this kind of stuff all the time. You can add in EVDO cards, which is basically a cell phone data system. I mean, it's a little more sophisticated than that, obviously, but it's different than the wireless people are used to with their wireless routers like Linksys and whatnot. It's not necessarily that you're using one. We use both because sometimes if you're even in a large airport that has free wireless, good luck. The bandwidth is all choked, but the EVDO gives you a consistent piece of bandwidth. And I think it's an all-you-can-eat for like $40 a month.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Not very much. The cards, they practically give you for free, if not for free. There's that advantage.
Just sign up for the data plan. I mean, that's the whole thing with those cards. I mean, sign up for the data plan. The cards are priced very, very low.
And the new Trios and some of the other devices in the 700 series, it's actually all-in-one. The EVDO functionality, the broadband data, is built into the same device that you're getting your email, that can be your cell phone if you choose it to be, that you can do all that. So it's a matter of really determining what the actual need is and then finding the best solution. So it's you can throw dollars and certain technologies at it, and maybe that's not a bad way when you're only talking a couple thousand dollars to test it out. But if you're going to do this as a comprehensive way of running your business or running your practice, it's probably beneficial to sit down and figure out what those technologies you do need are, and those ones which quite honestly you can pass by.
Do you want to tell any success stories before we wrap up?
Well, our own companies, our
well,
firms.
Well, I have
we
to
do
tell
it
you,
all the time.
Absolutely. Within my own firm, we have a large regional firm in New Jersey. And I have to tell you, all of our data, we saw this coming a while ago. We've been pushing our data and utilizing the ASP model and creating ways for our staff to access our data or our clients' data 24/7. So technically today, any of our staff, anywhere, anytime, 24/7, can do a tax return, review source documents, do their timesheets, and be connected. I don't care that they're not sitting behind a desk in their office. As long as they're getting the work done and the work is being completed and it's correct, I have no problem.
Yeah, we take a survey every year after tax season of how things went and so forth. The number one thing that they thought was the greatest thing that we did was to give employees access from home where they could review tax returns at home. After they picked up the kids at school, put them to bed, they could review three or four tax returns without dragging files home, printing tax returns, lugging them home, making pencil marks, bring them back in, making an edit change, and printing again. So they would review them at home, on screen, come in the next morning. Sometimes they would print it, and it would be laying on the printer waiting for them in the office when they got there that morning, ready to go.
Yeah, it's different. So it's a different day today. It's you're going home, you're getting changed, you're getting dressed down. You're finally relaxing after you put your kids to bed and read them stories. Then you're actually going and doing work. So it's a totally different environment than it was.
Yeah, it puts smiles on some employees this year. It really did. And the stress of tax season is enough to stress anybody out. And if you can put a smile on some employees' faces, it's well worth it.
You know, we were just talking about the success stories. You have a situation. I just think about my own company, you know, and whether or not we're in industry or public practice or in government, you know, it's really the same technologies. Maybe they're trying to serve clients with tax returns and I'm trying to serve customers with bug fixes or technical information on our products, but it's really kind of the same thing. We look at some of the software piece of it I don't think can be underestimated. And whether or not you're in public practice, you know, finding the proper audit or compilation tools or tax tools that are driven towards this type of environment that maybe are either hosted or ASP that don't require that local touch is important. And in our case, we do that with a number of things. First of all, our Salesforce automation and CRM package is hosted by a well-known company. Well, the advantage with that for us is we can access it anywhere, anytime. It's got redundant infrastructures that I could not even begin to afford. It has a whole passel of support people on the application. It's always putting out bug fixes on that. And then on top of it, I just pay a monthly fee. And it's a wonderful model. We actually are replicating that on a smaller scale with some of our things where we're hosting things outside on ISPs, which are internet service providers, but websites of our control. But it's the same basic idea as John mentioned earlier, a portal. So, you know, the software that you're going to go and purchase for these applications, you should always look at as being, you know, do I get A or B, and which gives me the most leverage and allows me to do that? Maybe A is cheaper, B gives you more flexibility. If that's the way you're going to go, you should look at those options.
Yeah, and I think one thing to remember is there are third-party solutions out there. Firms or businesses don't have to think, there's no way we can do this. Because you can, and there are third-party solutions. There's more and more all the time to probably approach any problem you have. If you know, even if you don't have an IT person on staff, it can still be done.
Absolutely.
Great. Thanks, gentlemen.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Top Technology Initiatives podcast. Join us next time when we discuss risk-based auditing. It's hard to say, but it's important to know. I mean, it's more than just counting boxes, you know. And if you're looking for more information on the top technology initiatives, go to www.aicpa.org/top-tech. That's aicpa.org/TOPTECH. Or if you have any questions for us, email us at toptech@aicpa.org.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA makes no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assumes no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and expressly disclaims all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.